Come with now to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Your Schofield Bible, it's page 252. We'll be reading four verses, verses 9 through 12, with the text verses being the 11th and 12th verses. But just these four verses, we'll read the verses responsively. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 9 through 12. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of this passage. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And let's pray. Father, we're thankful for thy gift of salvation. How grateful we are that you provided for our eternity. Thank you for this good day. Thank you for this day that reminds us of your coming, that reminds us of your gift. Thank you that each and every Sunday gives us reminders of that precious gift and of your resurrection. And every Sunday is special. Every Sunday is a Christmas Sunday, is an Easter Sunday, is a day of remembering all that you've done for us. Thank you for your good gifts. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our preacher and our church. And bless, we pray now, the church family as it's assembled once again in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
This scripture, one of the most beautiful in the entire Bible, and the one to which I often turn, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. You find my outline in that verse. It outlines itself. Point number one, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. Point number two, fluttereth over her young. Point number three, spreadeth abroad her wings. Point number four, taketh them. Point number five, beareth them on her wings. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of God's flying lessons. God's flying lessons. Our Heavenly Father, bless our hearts today in a special, sweet, and marvelous way. And may we love our God more and trust Him more and serve him better because we've come. In Jesus' name, amen. May I have your undivided attention, please. There's something sad to me about the Christmas season that you would not see nearly as I would see it. You don't see the church family, from the vantage point where I sit. You see a few people or a specimen group, segment, representative group maybe, but I see it as the pastor, overseer of the whole flock. And I find myself wishing every Christmas that I could give everybody all they want and all they need. Now, I'm no angel of mercy. I have not noticed any wings about to sprout, nor do I have any angelic tendencies nor heavenly qualities. But you'd be surprised how hard I work to see to it that everybody I possibly can has a good Christmas. There's no poverty. It's poor. It's poverty in the Christmas season. There's no loneliness as lonely as Christmas loneliness. There's no sadness so sad as Yuletide sadness. There's no want so needy as Christmas want. There's no cold as cold as Christmas cold. There's no hunger so hungry as Christmas hunger. And there are no tears as salty as Christmas tears. Last night, I got home. Security guard out in front of the house was Steve Farnham, one of our fine men. And these security guards around here are like my own sons. And Steve said, "My wife sure was excited today." And I said, "What's that?" And she said, "There was a tea at your house today." And she said, "The Highlander wives got to go in your house and have a tea." And my wife sure had a good time. And I'll be honest with you, and please don't misunderstand this, but I felt a little bit embarrassed, just a touch, because of the nice house that you provided for us. And I remembered enough to remember the college days to know how our house must look to these wives of our students. And I found myself wishing I could just build one just like it and furnish it just like it for all of you who have less. I try to live modestly. I check into a motel every Monday. The pastor always says the same thing. "Dr. Hiles, just sign the check. Anything you want to eat, sign the check." Which means I could eat a steak every morning, every noon, every evening, and nobody would criticize me. Anything I want to eat. I don't eat two steaks a year. I mean that. I don't order steaks. I have not ordered a steak in a motel room, a motel, and charged it to anybody in months and years. I don't do it. I try to eat like you eat, live like you live. This morning I want to talk to those of you who are having it a little tough and maybe even wouldn't be hard for you to feel just a tad bitter at Christmas time. Was it Friday night? Yes, it was. Friday night, when I drove home after an evening of appointments, I think it was 21 people I saw, one right after the other, Friday night. Everybody had a burden. Everybody had a need. So many. And I found myself wishing I could just supply to everybody what I wish everybody would like to have. Isaiah said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I want you to notice that little line. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles." And then, of course, Exodus 19, verse 4, it says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings and brought you to myself." And the Lord Jesus looked over the beloved city of Jerusalem and said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen would gather chicks, and you would not." He was talking about the mother eagle in a nest and wanting to gather her chicks together. In the Bible, we're reminded that the Lord treats us as an eagle. There are many other scriptures in the Bible that deal with God's treatment of us as a mother eagle would treat her little eaglet. There are five things said in this verse we read a while ago. Five things said concerning that treatment. I want you to listen carefully as I relate them to you. First it says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. God treats us that way. Now listen carefully. When the mother eagle builds a nest in a high tree, she first gets a layer of sticks or thorns or jagged rocks, and she puts those sticks and thorns first as a layer. Then over those sticks and thorns and rocks, she puts a layer of something soft, like wool, fur, the skin of a lamb, the skin of a rabbit, or the skin of a goat. Something soft. Now get it carefully now. You have the layer of rocks, sticks, and thorns. But over that layer of rock, sticks, and thorns, you have the smooth wool or fur or animal skin. Nothing is more comfortable than a young eagle, a baby eagle. Beneath it is the warmth and the luxury of a smooth skin or wool. And then above it is the protection of the mightiest bird of the sky. As the mother covers the little one, as the psalmist said in Psalm 91, he covereth us with his wings, under his feathers, if you please. Now, the young bird becomes comfortable, and then the time comes for the bird to learn to fly. That's not an easy task. The comfort is there for a while, but it's time for the bird to learn to fly. Up until now, the bird was fed and protected on luxurious comfort by the mother eagle. Then all of a sudden, the mother eagle takes the lining away. The rabbit fur, or the wool, or the goat skin, or the lamb skin is taken away. And suddenly, that little eagle that has been comfortable on the smoothness of the wool or the skin is touched and pricked by thorns and stones and rocks. And the mother eagle has removed that soft lining, and then the mother eagle takes and stirs those stones, stirs those sticks, and stirs those thorns. So that little eaglet will no longer be comfortable, so that little eaglet will have no desire or less and less desire to stay in the nest. It's time now to fly. It's time now to fulfill the purpose for your existence. It's time now to learn to fly through wind and storm and blizzards. It's time now to learn to soar to the heavens and fulfill the purpose. For an eagle wasn't made for a nest. An eagle was made for the sky. And now it's time for that eagle, little eaglet, to learn to fly. And to make that little eaglet learn to fly, the mother eagle has to make the nest less comfortable. Now listen carefully to me. Do you ever wonder why that teenagers are so hard to get along with? Teenagers, do you ever wonder why that when you got 14, 15, 16, and 17 years of age, your mom became a combination of Jezebel, Athaliah, and your dad became, you thought the tribulation period was here because your dad suddenly became the combination of the Antichrist and the false prophet all in one package? You know why? Oh, you say, teenagers, and oh, they're not like they used to be. Oh, they're like they used to be. What is it? God is making it a little restless, maybe. It's time to leave now. And the Lord sometimes pulls the smooth skin out and stirs up. Did you ever wonder, and please, Please understand this. Do you ever wonder why people get sick and die? Do you ever wonder why God didn't let us just all of a sudden just quit breathing? God's okay and turns off. Had a little lever up here, had a little button to push, and God reached down and pushed it, and we'd just quit breathing and go on to heaven. Do you ever wonder why? God, in His mercy, lets us get sick and die. You know why? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And God has to let us get disenchanted with things of earth. I think I see that in my mother. I think I see her getting a little more ready for heaven all the time. And you, dear senior citizens, and some of you folks are sick. You know why? Because if the Lord just took won the Super Bowl, you know, as Dallas Cowboys, we just won the Super Bowl, and then while we're cheering, we died. That's no way to go. We're having too much fun. But sometimes the Lord says, "I'm going to take her gradually now, or I'm going to take him gradually now, because I want him to loosen his grip on earth for a while. I want him to get where he'd rather be in heaven than on earth." And so the Lord rustles or stirs up the nest. You know, when God wants His people to fly, He takes the smooth sometimes out, and He puts the thorns, and He puts the stones, the rocks, and He puts the sticks, and God reaches down and stirs the stones and sticks and says, "It's time to fly. Now, you got to fly." And nobody learns to fly easily, and so God lets us be pricked. When God wanted a Spurgeon, He sent a fire to Spurgeon's church, and 7 of His people were killed in one tragic fire. When God wanted Lee Robertson, He sent the death angel, took Lee Robertson's little baby Joy, to stir up the nest. When God wanted to build Rice, He placed deaf ears on the head of the little Dr. Bill's little girl, and He's stirring the nest. And when God wanted a Spanish work here, He chose an Elmer Fernandez down in Cuba under Castro, and let him go through the fire for a while. And God said, "Take the smooth skin away and take the wool away. I'm preparing my child to fly." And this morning, maybe in your life, God has taken away the goat skin or the lamb skin or the rabbit skin or the wool. And maybe today, all of a sudden, for the first time in your life, you feel the prick of the thorn and the prick of the stone and the prick of the rocks and the prick of the sticks. And all of a sudden, things aren't going well. And you're not used to things not going well. You've not been unemployed before. You've not had a Christmas where you wondered what was going to happen before. You've not had an illness like this before. And all of a sudden, you say, "Preacher, what's God doing to me?" God's about to teach you how to fly. God's got something He wants you to do. You're made to soar through the sky. There's a purpose and a will for your life. So God is teaching you how to fly. Congratulations, young person, in a one-parent family. The Christmas tree will not be shared by your dad and mom both together this year. Congratulations. God's teaching you how to fly. God has something for you to do. And no eaglet ever learns to fly till first the nest is shaken. And the little eaglet that has been on the softness of the lamb skin or the goat skin or the rabbit skin or of the fur or of the wool. Secondly, notice, not only after the mother eagle pulls away the fur, pulls away the softness. And I'll be honest with you. I don't like to see anybody suffer. I was thinking of the day. I'll tell you, it'll be so good when there's a place where there's no cancer. It'll be so good when there's a place where no Mr. Tony will ever, God bless that good man. Every night he prayed for my voice. And he prayed for God to bless Brother Howes' voice. And then when he got sick, he started praying every night for God to give me His voice. And then when his voice was about gone and it failed him at the hospital, he said to Mrs. Tony, "I think God's given Brother Howes my voice. Mine is gone." I don't like to see anybody suffer. I don't like to see anybody not have what they want. And I don't, especially if I have,
I don't want you not to have. And if you don't have, I don't want to have. But I'm saying, as your pastor, I've got to say this. You're never going to learn to fly unless you're pricked with the thorns and the stones and the sticks. And so this morning, if things aren't going well for you and if you wish things were better, why don't you just stand up and say, glory to God, I'm about to learn to fly.
As the second statement was made here in this amazing scripture where God likened himself to a mother eagle. That is, it said he fluttereth over. She fluttereth over her young. That word flutter, I like it. You know what it's likened to? This mother eagle. Here's a little eaglet now. And a little eaglet has never had a bad day in his life. Every bit of food he got, the mother gave. And the comfort of the fur, the mother's prepared. And everything is just right. Now all of a sudden, the mother takes away the lining. And the little eaglet is being pricked with the stone, the thorn, and the sticks, and the rocks. And the mother eaglet then rises. I like this. She rises just a little bit above the nest and flutters her wings. You know what she's doing? She's saying, I want you to know I'm still here. It's likened to a fellow who takes his arm like that and says to his wife, I'll take care of you. Says to his children, you know, every boy thinks his dad has got the biggest muscle in the world. Of course, it's only true for one, and that's David Hiles. But anyway, I used to do my arm like that. Don't be afraid. I'm your friend. I'm not here to hurt you now. And I used to take, my daddy used to do this too. I'd take my thumb like that, and I'd relax a muscle, and then I'd blow on my thumb, and then I'd blow it, and as I blew it, muscle got bigger and bigger. And David said, you're the strongest man in the whole world. And I'd say, you're right. But you say, boy, I'll tell you what, this will take care of you. And that little eaglet there, feeling the stones for the first time, and uncomfortable and suffering and feeling pain for the first time in his life. And now the nest is getting a little ruffled up here. And the mother eaglet says, look at these wings. I'm still here. I'm still here. Look up. I'm here. And may I say this morning, in the depth of poverty, under the surgeon's knife, in the hospital bed, with your loved one near death, may I say, there's a God in heaven who's fluttering his wings this morning. Look up. He's still there. He's still there. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. Now look, don't misunderstand me. I'm not going to say the rocks will never prick your flesh. I'm not going to say the thorns will never cause you to bleed. I'm not going to say you'll always have a bed of roses or sleep on lambskin. The day's going to come when the heartaches and the trials and burdens will come. But I want to serve notice to you. Look up. He's still there. And there's a third thing in this verse. It said, first, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. And then secondly, she fluttereth over her young. There's a third thing. It says, she spreadeth abroad her wings. She says, look at me. I'm your mother. Look at the wings spread I've got. This is no sparrow over you today. This is no little wren over you today. This is no piddling Bob White over you today. You've got over you, with the wings spread over you, you've got the protection of the strongest bird of the sky. And I'll take care of you. And God looks down today and he says, I don't want to cause you to have discomfort. I don't want you to have a lonely Christmas. I don't want you to do without. I don't want you to have illness. I don't want you to be unemployed. But God said, if you're going to fly, I've got to take away the comfort. I've got to take away the ease. And nobody ever learns to fly unless he first learns what it is to suffer. God says, little preacher's wife in college, he says, you'll have to live now in a little apartment house. The new furniture comes later. The nice home comes later. I want to teach you how to fly. God says to a young man with his children having not much for Christmas, and God knows this church has worked and this preacher has worked and will continue to do so.
to see to it that everybody has somewhat of a decent Christmas, but it just may be that this Christmas will be a lonely one for you, or a poor one for you, or a sad one for you. But I want to serve. Notice that God's teaching you how to fly. And God is not only still there, but God said, look at here. The mother eagle said, look at here. I know that the rocks are pricking you. I know you're uncomfortable. I don't like it myself. You know, for 37 years I've been pastoring churches. I've been through some fire. Not like the martyrs. Not like I deserve. Not like I may someday have to go through. But I've shed many tears, had some lonely nights, lost some friends of a lifetime. I've been accused of most everything and criticized and slandered and hated and so forth. And I don't much mind that. But you know, it's awful hard for me to see my boy go through that. I almost wished for a while God wouldn't have called Dave to preach. And I feel that way about the young preachers at Howells Anderson College. I know what you've got to go through. I know the lonely nights. I know the misunderstanding. I know the battles you've got to fight. I know the devil himself is after you. But I want to tell you something. You're not going to win the victory till you learn to fly. And you're not going to learn to fly till the nest has been stirred. But as you have the nest is stirred, and you look up and you're pain and you're hurt and you're lonely and the tears fall, I want you to notice that God's up there fluttering his wings and say, I'm still here. Look at me now. I want your attention. I'm still here. And then God lifts up his mighty wings and he says, I'll cover you with my feathers, and under my wing shall you trust. I'm the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of gods. And God not only loves you and wants you to know he's there, but God is powerful enough to take care of all your needs. And then, how sweet this is. How sweet it is. It's time now for the mother eagle to take the hardest thing she'll ever do. She lifts that little eagle up to the edge of the nest and takes it and throws it over the edge of the nest. And that little eaglet begins to fall and thinks it's going to die as it's falling down. And then that mother eaglet soars out of the nest and flies underneath the little eaglet. And the little eagle, just before it hits the jagged rocks beneath, is stopped with the loving wings of the mother eagle and saved. And then that mother eagle with that little eaglet on her wings takes off to the skies again. And then she drops that little eaglet out again. And then she goes down under the little eaglet, and the eaglet thinks it's going to die again. Oh, what'll I do? What'll I do? Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows fall? Why? His eyes on the sparrow. Don't you know that if a mother eagle who will keep her little eaglet from falling to the ground, don't you know our great God, who is love, will keep you from landing in catastrophe, heartache and heartbreak, and over again. And finally, one time, little eaglet begins to fly a little bit. And the smile comes across the beak, if a beak can smile, of the mother eagle. And she flies down underneath and she says, I think he's learning to fly now. And then, once again, just before it hits the ground, she flies under, and that little eaglet lands on mother's feathers again, and up toward the sky again, and the little eaglet flies a little better, until one day, the mother eagle says, I think he can fly alone now. I think now he can soar the skies. I think now he'll be able to go through blizzards and storms and winds up to 60 miles an hour. I think he can do it now. I didn't want to take the lambskin away. I didn't want to take the wool away. But I knew if he ever flew, I had to do it. I didn't want to drop him off the edge of the nest. But I knew if he ever flew, I had to do it. I didn't want to drop him again and again and again.
But I knew if he ever flew, I had to do it. And then I expect that little eaglet, if I know little eaglets, said to its mama, "You don't love me. You wouldn't kick me out of the nest. You don't love me anymore. I don't understand you." But then one day, that little eaglet, for the first time, soloed and flew through the sky. And that little eagle soared to the heavens and saw things that only eagles can see and enjoyed thrills that only eagles can enjoy. I expect that little eaglet, when it got to fly on its own, came back many a time to mother's nest and said, "Mama, I want to thank you for the thorns. I want to thank you for the rocks and the sticks. I want to thank you that you stirred up the nest. I want to thank you for the pushing me off the edge." I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. And young people, you're going to understand one of these days, Mom and Dad. One of these days you're going to understand, Brother Hiles. You're going to understand the rules of the college and the high school. One day you'll understand it. And one day you'll fly back to the nest here and you'll stand up and say, "Preacher, I didn't care much about you in those days. I didn't believe you. I thought you were mean and nasty. But I want to thank you. I never would have soared through the skies if you had never stirred up my nest and caused the rocky places to come and the thorns to prick my flesh." And one day you'll come to God and say, "Dear God, thank you for the stirring of the nest." Now, personally, I'd rather stay in the nest in the warmth and comfort of lambskin at the time. I'll say this and I'm through. I have no desire for sympathy, nor do I feel like I should have it. Of all people, I'm most fortunate. But I carry thousands of people on these little shoulders of mine. Sometimes I sit in a motel room at night, about 6 o'clock at night in a distant state somewhere, and I stop and realize of all the people who are eating supper right at that minute who depend on me for their salaries and for their meals. For the night I got to counting up, and I figured at that very moment probably 4,000 people are eating dependent upon me and my leadership in this church. And I carry the burdens of thousands and thousands of people on these shoulders. And not only the people here, but preachers across the nation. I've got more calls right now on my desk to preachers having problems and need pastoring than I can take care of all next week. And I'll do it day and night. They can do it next week. Come back to the room late at night and call some preacher having trouble or call somebody needs counsel. And everybody that graduates from Hiles Anderson College, if they get in trouble, they need to call Brother Hiles. And I carry thousands and thousands on these little shoulders of mine. People say, "You know how, I don't know how you do it. You know how I do it? Huh?" Well, back yonder one day, God stirred up my nest. And my daddy died a drunkard's death. And God stirred up my nest. And Mom and I had to make it on our own best we could. And I didn't enjoy it. But as I look back, I'd like to serve notice to you, that's how I learned to fly. And if you ever want to do that which God has called you to do and be that which God has called you to be, God's going to have to wipe a tear from eyes of deity and move the smooth lining from the nest. And then God's going to have to push you off the edge and let you suffer. I wish today, God knows I do, I wish I could bring back every husband that's left his wife and kids in this room this morning. I wish I could. I wish I could bring back every wife that's left her husband. You Hiles Anderson students, some of you, I wish I could bring back every one of your wives who left you because she said you couldn't take it anymore. I wish I could speak and every cancerous cell would be gone. I wish I could give every child here without a daddy for Christmas. I wish I could. If I could, I would. I wish I had the money to take care of every need in this room this morning. God knows if I had it, I'd do it. I can't do it. But I can tell you for sure,
You stand up this morning if life's path is a little rugged, and if the stones are pricking you and the thorns are causing your flesh and your heart to be pain, stand up and say, thank God, thank God. I'm taking flying lesson. Our Heavenly Father.